Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 10th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks climb after President Trump suspends plans for tariffs on Mexico.
The yen weakens after a Bloomberg exclusive interview with BOJ Governor Kuroda.
United Technologies and Raytheon agree to combine in one of the biggest ever aerospace and defense deals.
Demonstrators pledge more huge protests in Hong Kong. And candidates line up to replace Theresa May in the UK. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Bruins stayed alive. They won in St. Louis, forcing a Stanley Cup Final Game 7. Wins for the Mets and Yankees. They'll meet tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Risk assets are gaining this morning while Haven slump. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures up 26. The no trading in Germany today, a holiday. The FTSE 100 is up about 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.2%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.3%. 10-year Treasury down 16 32nds, yield 2.13%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 2 cents to $54.02 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.1% or $14.30 to $13.31.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1307 against the dollar, and the yen, 108.58. Nathan.
Karen, indeed, risk on sentiment does appear to be taking hold after President Trump suspended plans for U.S. tariffs on Mexico. Global stock. Stocks are gaining while havens slump and treasury yields rise. Mark Cudmore is a macro strategist for Bloomberg News.
The Mexico story was kind of expected. That was kind of priced in. We've had that relief now. One of those great reliefs where we make an empty threat and then remove it and markets are very happy. But as yields start to bounce today on the relief, on stocks going higher, will that kind of then become a negative spiral that, hey, wait a sec, the main reason for equity markets going higher was because yields collapsed. Now, if yields start bouncing, does that stop the equity bounce? So I think that dynamic, that interplay between stocks and yields will be particularly interesting this week.
Well, last week was the best for U.S. stocks since November.
Now that the threat of tariffs is gone, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement can move forward, according to Canadian Finance Minister Bill Morneau.
Now that the specter of potential tariffs is not there, I think it does clear the path for all of us to move forward at the pace that we can to get this new deal ratified.
There are some questions, though, about the agreement reached between the U.S. and Mexico. President Trump says Mexico will make large agricultural purchases as part of the deal, but three Mexican officials say agricultural trade hadn't been discussed in negotiations.
All right, so with one trade dispute apparently resolved, discussions at this weekend's G20 finance ministers meeting turned squarely to the U.S.-China trade war. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes reports from Tokyo.
Steve Mnuchin certainly was playing down hopes to everyone there that anything could really happen at this meeting. He did tweet out, however, that he had candid and constructive talks with his counterpart in China on these trade talks. I also asked Mr. Mnuchin about this fear in the markets that if the Chinese currency slides closer to 7, even below, if the Trump team will see that as currency manipulation. He didn't exactly say yes, but he did say, well, you know, if a currency's been trading in a certain level and then it goes even weaker. Well, you know, we have to look at a lot of factors, but he seemed to imply that this is something that is definitely on their radar screen.
And right now, the yuan is trading at 6.9536.
The yen is weaker after remarks overnight from Haruhiko Kuroda, the Bank of Japan governor, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg following the G20 meeting, saying the central bank still has room for big stimulus.
When some risks materialize and if the Japanese economy affected and also, if the momentum toward the 2% inflation target is lost, then, of course, Bank of Japan would swiftly respond.
The comments from Governor Kuroda come as some question whether the BOJ's aggressive stimulus program is sustainable, given the harm caused for commercial banks and markets.
Now, the pound is weaker after data showing the UK economy contracted 0.4% in April, the biggest monthly drop since 2016. It comes as manufacturing output in the UK fell the most in 16 years. Overall manufacturing output fell 3.9%, while vehicle production plunged by 24%.
We're getting trade data out of China showing the country's export growth unexpectedly rebounding in May while imports declined. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Exports rose 1.1% from a year earlier, the estimate a decline of 3.9%. Imports declined 8.5%, and that was far more than 3.5% projected. Some of the highlights, copper imports falling 23%, read slowing economy. Rare earth exports falling 16%, and the overall trade surplus, $41.7 billion, up from $24.9 billion a year ago. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. As concern about U.S.-China trade tensions continues, China reportedly held talks with technology companies last week to discuss the U.S. ban on Huawei. According to Reuters, a person at Microsoft said its session with Chinese officials was not a direct warning, but made it clear that complying with the ban would lead to further complications for all sector participants.
At the same time, the acting budget chief at the White House is pushing for a delay in implementing the law that restricts government business with Huawei. Bloomberg News has learned Russell Vowell sent a letter to Vice President Mike Pence saying the measure would place burdens on U.S. companies that use Huawei technology.
And on the M&A front, we have a big tie-up in the defense industry with United Technologies agreeing to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal. The combination would be one of the biggest ever in the sector. Doug Rothiker covers aerospace and defense for Bloomberg Intelligence.
This would form basically the number two aerospace defense business by revenue globally at about $80 billion combined, which trails only Boeing at north of $100 billion in sales. For Raytheon, it offers a sizable boost in commercial exposure. For United Technologies, adding a premier top-tier provider of high-margin defense systems like radars and missile defense components offers, you know, a pretty sizable instant diversification factor.
The shares of Raytheon are up about 2% in the pre-market, while United Technologies shares are higher by 5%.
S&P futures are up 10 points, Dow futures up 107, NASDAQ futures up 28. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, good morning. Hong Kong's leader is pledging to press ahead with Beijing-backed legislation easing extraditions to China. It comes despite one of Hong Kong's largest protests since the former British colony's return more than two decades ago. Chief Executive Carrie Lam told reporters the government could see people are concerned about the bill.
In a way, I hope this incident also helps to refute any worries and allegations that these rights and freedoms have been eroded in recent years.
Over a million protesters took to the streets yesterday. President Trump says it's case closed, but Democrats are just getting started with Robert Mueller. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
House Democrats have scheduled a series of hearings this coming week on the special counsel's report as they intensify their focus on the Russia probe and pick up the pace on an investigative path, the words of Speaker Pelosi. And they will lay groundwork for an appearance from Mueller himself, despite his stated desire to avoid doing such. The hearings will focus on two main topics of Mueller's report, obstruction of justice and Russian election interference. The first today will focus on obstruction. Tomorrow, a vote to authorize contempt cases against Attorney General William Barr. And Wednesday, Russian election activity. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot and injured in the Dominican Republic last night. Ortiz's father telling ESPN his son was wounded at an entertainment center in the Dominican capital of Santo Domingo. According to El Dia, Ortiz was with a group of friends at a nightclub when he was shot. The 10-time All-Star, who's from the Dominican Republic, was in stable condition. And a list of candidates vying to become Britain's next prime minister will be finalized today following a lively weekend of news from hard lines on Brexit to some lines they'd rather forget. Boris Johnson, the frontrunner to succeed Prime Minister Theresa May, took a tough stance on Brexit in a Sunday Times interview. He said he would leave the bloc with or without a deal in October if he was in charge. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. 6:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, back in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins faced elimination at Game 6 on the road. They won that one in Toronto, and they won last night's Game 6 in St. Louis, 5-1. They put it away with a four-goal third period. Strong play in net from Tuukka Rask, and now Bruce Cassidy's Bruins will host the Blues Wednesday, and the winner will win the Stanley Cup.
You got two good teams that have gone toe-to-toe here, and good for Tuukka. He's allowed us an opportunity to play in a Game 7. I think the whole hockey world loves a Game 7, so should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
Bruins will have home ice, but the road team 4-2 in this series, and the Blues are 9-3 on the road in the playoffs. So the NHL season not over yet. The NBA season could end tonight in Toronto. The Raptors can win their first championship and dethrone the two-time defending champion Golden State Warriors, Toronto leading 3-1. Subway Series tonight in the Bronx. Both teams coming off wins. The Yankees 7-6, 10 innings in Cleveland. They led 5-0. They were one out from victory in the ninth when D.D. Gregorius booted a ground ball, but Aaron Hicks's double put him back ahead, and rookie Stephen Tarpley struck out the side in the 10th for his manager, Aaron Boone.
But proud of the way the guys, you know, continued to hang in there, continued to grind. It was a little bit of a, you know, different kind of game, and for Tarp to come in there and finish it off was big.
Boone used 7 pitchers. The Yanks are tied with Tampa Bay. Noah Syndergaard pitched the Mets over Colorado 6-1, so the Mets are 1 under .500. It'll be Jason Vargas and Masahiro Tanaka tonight at the stadium. U.S. Open golf begins Thursday at Pebble Beach. Rory McIlroy looks ready. Shot 61, won in Canada by 7 shots, a 12th French Open title for Rafael Nadal. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
You know, John, besides a 3-1 series lead, players on the Toronto Raptors have another advantage over the Golden State Warriors. They don't get taxed as much. Raptors stars like Kawhi Leonard are subject to Canada's top income tax rate of 33%, plus 13% if they're Ontario residents. Meanwhile, Warriors like Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant pay the 37% top federal tax rate, plus 13.3% from California, grand total of 50.3% of their salary. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we get you set for the trading week ahead with our roundtable of Bloomberg News editors around the world, with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 102 now, and NASDAQ futures up 24 points.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures higher this morning with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 98, NASDAQ futures up 25. The 10-year Treasury down 17 30 seconds, yield 2.14%, yield on the 2-year 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 13 cents to $54.12 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1% or $13.70 to $13.32.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1308 against the dollar, the yen 108.59. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz hospitalized following surgery for a gunshot wound after he was ambushed in a bar in his native Dominican Republic. Democrats launching a series of televised hearings this week on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, and the list of candidates vying to become prime minister in the UK finalized today. Boris Johnson remains a front runner. Sports, the Bruins beat the Blues to force a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 6:18 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time to get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. Helping us do that from New York, Bloomberg Chief Content Officer Marty Shanker. In London, we're joined by News Director David Merritt. And from Beijing, we're pleased to have Bloomberg Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. Marty, let's start with you, because it looks like the U.S.-Mexican trade standoff over immigration is over for now.
Yes, it is. Some people surprised. Donald Trump announced on Friday that he would not impose these tariffs, which a lot of people thought was a tremendously bad idea to begin with, in exchange for a new Mexican commitment to help the U.S. Keep illegal immigrants from crossing the border.
So now, Emma O'Brien, I guess attention turns back to U.S.-China.
Yeah, I mean, no such sign of any accord on the U.S.-China front, though. Investors left wondering, I guess, where the next salvo will come from. We're firmly into unpredictable territory now with tariffs all but tapped out in this fight, really, between the U.S. and China. That means any action on either side, be it against a Chinese company or a U.S. one here, could be interpreted as being motivated by the state. You know, China has been foreshadowing that the tensions could move further into that company's realm. We've got plans for a blacklist of so-called unreliable entities, and any action is being viewed through that trade war lens now. For example, Ford's Chinese unit being fined last week a relatively insignificant $24 million, but being labeled straight away as a potential salvo by commentators.
David Merritt, a lot of observers are counting down the clock. I think this is right to noon Wall Street time, 5 p.m. UK time, when we get the final slate of potential candidates to replace Prime Minister May.
Yes, that's right. So the list will be narrowed down today and we'll know who the final runners were, are, in this race. Boris Johnson, though, very much seeming to be the favourite. And in fact, getting a bit more momentum behind his campaign over the weekend with threats to pull back the money that is supposed to be paid for the European Union and power Britain towards no deal. But, you know, we are still early in this race. There are many weeks to go. And as we saw over the weekend with Michael Gove's admission to cocaine use really blowing up his campaign, then there's plenty of time for other things to happen.
Marty Schenker, back to you. Major M&A news in the air.
Yeah, United Tech and Raytheon merging, so to speak, but actually United Tech is shareholders are going to be the majority holders of the new company. Look, both whenever you see both shares of the acquirer and the acquired rise, and they are in early morning trading, it's probably a positive, and that's the way the market's viewing this.
Meantime, David Merritt, a long-running tie-up on the road, may be in trouble.
That's right. You know, more fallout here, really, from this the collapse of the talks between Renault and Fiat Chrysler last week. Renault is in this 20-year alliance with Nissan, and it really has descended now into name-calling and acrimony, and it's a very important alliance for them as they have to try to invest to deal with things like autonomous driving and electric vehicles, and that relationship really looking on the rocks today.
Emma O'Brien, a lot of dovishness for central banks. Could we see that wave extend to Japan now?
Yeah, I mean, we had an interview today with Governor Kuroda, and he really did set out the case for more easing, saying the Bank of Japan has the ammunition to deliver more big monetary stimulus, but he is very mindful of any side effects. They're being quite cautious there. He will pull the trigger, he said, on further monetary easing if momentum toward that holy inflation goal in Japan of 2% starts to falter. And as you said, this does put him in line with the noises other big central bankers are making. You've got the Fed and the ECB signaling a willingness to act if their economy shows signs of losing steam. And then China's central bank chief, Yi Gang, also telling us in an exclusive interview last week that he has tremendous, and that's a quote, policy options to stoke demand.
Yeah, let's talk about the Fed, Marty Schenker, because particularly after that Friday jobs report that came in a lot less than expected, it seems like the question for the U.S. central bank seems to be less if to cut rates, but when and by how much?
That's right. And I think weakness in the economy in the U.S. specifically and the world in general is what's going to drive the Fed. There's even some talk of a 50-point cut at some point in the future. I think that if you really want to spook the markets, that's how you do it. So I would expect the Fed to cut in measured pace, and it's anybody's guess when.
As for the European Central Bank, David Merritt, the concern there seems to be about inflation expectations.
That's right. This word de-anchoring coming up here, which means that the bank is worried that markets are really losing faith in the ability of the ECB to hit its inflation target. That means more stimulus down the road as all the data continue to deteriorate. We're seeing also today with the UK some very bad numbers, Britain's economy contracting, and amid all the Brexit uncertainty. So a lot of uncertainty across the board for the European economy.
David Merritt, our news director for Europe, joining us from London. Also, thanks this morning to Bloomberg managing editor Emma O'Brien in Beijing and in New York. Bloomberg chief content officer Marty Shanker helping us to get set for the trading week on Wall Street. A week that looks to be starting off risk on, particularly looking at European indices and U.S. futures markets. S&P futures up 10 points right now. Dow futures ahead by 107. NASDAQ futures up 28 points. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. At 6:25 on Wall Street, stay with us for much more on the big M&A news. United Technologies buying Raytheon. We will speak with Bloomberg Intelligence aerospace and defense analyst Doug Rothaker on that in the minutes ahead.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures point to a fifth straight day of gains for the S&P 500 after President Trump suspended plans for new tariffs on goods from Mexico. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
President Trump said he will indefinitely suspend plans to put a 5% tariff on Mexican products. It seems to be clear that the deal does include some sort of increased measures for border security. What stirred a bit of confusion and a bit of drama was the fact that President Trump said that Mexico agreed to substantial purchases of U.S. agricultural products as part of this deal as well. And that was something that three Mexican officials later said was not true. So a bit of confusion, I guess, but we do know that the tariffs seem to have been averted for now. That seems to be doing well for the peso and for overall sentiment.
Bloomberg's Christine Burke reporting the peso is stronger by more than 2% on the news.
Well, now investor attention on the trade front. We'll return to talks with China after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the main progress may occur when Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping meet at the G20 summit later this month.
It's one of the defense industry's biggest transactions ever. United Technologies has agreed to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal, forming a company with $74 billion in sales. Doug Rothaker covers aerospace and defense for Bloomberg Intelligence.
A combined United Technologies and Raytheon offers diversification benefits and could offer some potential cost savings factors, you know, that could make United Technologies more competitive from a tier one supplier standpoint.
Shares of United Technologies are up 5%, while Raytheon is up almost 3%.
Now, Renault's 20-year marriage with Nissan may be in trouble. Renault's planned merger with Fiat Chrysler fell apart, and Nissan's reluctance to endorse the deal is said to be partly responsible for that failure. In response, Renault's threatening to block Nissan's plan to cover its governance structure.
Shares of Thomas Cook are up more than 13% in London. The British travel agency has confirmed it's in talks with China's Fosun International about buying its tour operating business. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 107 and NASDAQ futures are up 27. The DAX in Germany, there's no trading today. It's a holiday. The CAC in Paris is up 0.25% and the FTSE 100 is up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.25%. 10-year Treasury down 17/32nds, yield 2.14%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 6 cents to $54.05 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1% on $13.90 to $13.3220 an ounce. The euro 1.1309 against the dollar and the yen 108.58. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, good morning. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz appears to be in stable condition after police say he was ambushed by a man who got off a motorcycle and shot him in the back at close range Sunday night in his native Dominican Republic. Police say Ortiz was at the Dial Bar and Lounge in Santo Domingo at around 8:50 p.m. when the gunman approached from behind and opened fire. Not clear on what the motive may have been. Hong Kong has pledged to press ahead with a controversial extradition bill that brought nearly a million people out into the streets. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The biggest protest since the British handover in 1997. Organizers saying 1.03 million people came out. Police said 240,000. Even so, Chief Executive Carrie Lam said the legislation would move forward on Wednesday. The bill would allow Hong Kong to transfer criminal suspects to places like mainland China and Taiwan. Western governments have warned the law could threaten Hong Kong's autonomy and perhaps damage it as a global financial center. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Top Democratic leaders may be in no rush to launch an impeachment inquiry, but the party is launching a series of hearings this week on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The slate of hearings on the Russia probe means lawmakers are picking up the pace of an investigation that some of the party's liberal base hope leads to impeachment of President Trump. In the UK today, members of the Tory party have until 5 p.m. local time to enter the race to become party leader and prime minister. And Bloomberg's Thomas Petty reports from London.
In the race to succeed Theresa May as UK Prime Minister, Boris Johnson was always going to be the one to catch, and his hardened rhetoric on Brexit and eye-catching promise of tax cuts has laid down the gauntlet to his opponents. But as Johnson scoops up the support of prominent Brexiteers, their task of winning that vote is getting harder. One person they are less likely to have to worry about is Michael Gove, whose campaign looks fatally damaged by revelations about his use of cocaine 20 years ago. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A residential building in Dallas remains evacuated following a deadly outbreak of severe weather when near hurricane-strength winds hit the Texas city Sunday afternoon. The city manager, T.C. Broadnow, says a construction crane hit the building located downtown, causing injuries and killing one woman.
All the units at the apartment complex have been searched and everyone has been accounted for and evacuated to the reunification center.
And in Bloomberg Sports, the Bruins beat the Blues to force a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Warriors look to keep their season alive when they face Toronto tonight. Baseball, the Yankees and Mets win and play each other tonight. And in other action, the Nationals and the A's also win. The Red Sox and Giants lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. It is 6:36 on Wall Street. And as we've been reporting this morning, there is news of a big tie-up in the defense industry. United Technologies has agreed to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal. The combination would be one of the biggest ever in the sector. It will result in a new entity to be called Raytheon Technologies, with headquarters in the Boston area. For more on this transaction, we're pleased to welcome in Bloomberg Intelligence, Aerospace and Defense Analyst Doug Rothiker, who joins us live on the phone. Thanks for being here this morning, Doug. The merger is being billed as a marriage of equals. Do you see it that way?
Yes, good morning. Thanks. That's what they're billing it as, but with United Technologies garnering the slightly more share of the deal, it looks to me more like an acquisition of Raytheon. We're looking at $80 billion in revenue next year, which puts it just below Boeing in terms of size and scale and global breadth. Making it the number two largest aerospace and defense company in the world. So clearly building an empire here with United Technologies and going to be called Raytheon Technologies going forward as the companies spin out the Otis and Carrier businesses next year.
What does this say about the direction that the CEO of United Technologies, Greg Hayes, has taken the company?
So there's a lot of moving parts over the next year, if not more. And clearly he's building what he sees as a legacy here and his empire of, one of the world's largest aerospace and defense companies to compete on a global scale and be, in the echelon of a Boeing in terms of size and corporate power.
With more of a focus on aerospace and defense as opposed to some of the more diversified plays that the company has been a part of in the past, when you talk about Carrier air conditioners and Otis elevators, things like that.
Correct. So what set this into, you know, into motion over the past year was the acquisition of Rockwell Collins and the follow-up announcement that they would be spinning off the Otis elevator and carrier HVAC businesses. And so what Greg Hayes was going to lead was the aerospace business, which would be, you know, technically smaller compared to the multi-industry company that we see now. And so essentially he's breaking that up and now forming a behemoth in the world of aerospace defense, going to be by far the largest supplier to Boeing, you know, spanning the, you know, nose to tail, as they call it, from an aircraft standpoint, and now adding Raytheon, which is a premier provider of radar systems, missile defense systems, large exposure to the future of space technology, really on the cutting edge of military weapons and technology systems, you know, up there with the Lockheeds of the world.
Taking on a company like Raytheon, do you see any possible overlap that could force cuts for either company?
I think what we see, you know, given the focus, again, United Technologies on largely the commercial aerospace business and their Pratt & Whitney engines, and Raytheon really focused on defense, there's, you know, very little overlap in terms of revenue expected. I think that should reduce antitrust risks. I think one of the bigger question marks right now is the Pentagon view of, you know, the coming together of these companies. The Pentagon has been concerned about consolidation among their very top-tier providers of defense systems. This forms the number two Pentagon supplier, right, you know, behind Lockheed Martin. So I suspect that'll be a question that we'll have on the call here coming up at about 8 o'clock.
All right, looking forward to more coverage of that. Doug Rothacker, Bloomberg Intelligence, aerospace and defense analyst. Again, United Technologies agreeing to buy Raytheon in an all-stock deal that, if approved, would make the company number two behind Boeing in the aerospace business. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Both Raytheon and United Tech shares are higher in the pre-market, along with futures more broadly on Wall Street. S&P futures up almost 11 points. Dow futures up 111. NASDAQ futures up 29 points.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green, helped by the U.S. suspending its plan to place tariffs on Mexico. Dow futures currently higher by 117 points. S&P's gained 12, with the NASDAQ futures rise by 32. The U.S. 10-year yield jumps to 2.14%, and Japan rose 1.2% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading high, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 10 o'clock, JOLTS job openings. And regarding earnings this morning, Thor Industries revenue missed the lowest estimates. And in deal news, UTX is buying Raytheon in an all-stock deal. And this just hitting right now, Merck is buying Tilos Therapeutics for up to $773 million. In other news, drug maker Insys filed for bankruptcy protection. And wrapping things up, SiriusXM was raised to outperform over at Credit Suisse. Analog Devices upgraded to buy at Goldman Sachs. And Federated Investors upgraded to overweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, good morning. Democrats are launching a series of hearings this week on special counsel Robert Mueller's report. Hong Kong has pledged to press ahead with a controversial extradition bill that brought nearly a million people out into the streets. In the UK today, members of the Tory party have until 5 p.m. local time to enter the race to become party leader and prime minister. And former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz appears to be in stable condition. And police say he was ambushed by a man who got off a motorcycle and shot him in the back at close range Sunday night in his native Dominican Republic. Sports. Bruins beat the Blues to force a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Warriors look to keep their season alive, but they face Toronto tonight. Baseball, the Yankees and Mets win and play each other tonight. In other action, the Nationals and A's also win. The Red Sox and Giants lose. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where, as we've been telling you, tariffs will not be imposed on Mexican imports now that President Trump says Mexico has agreed to tougher immigration enforcement.
People can disagree with the tactics. Mexico came to the table with real proposals. We have an agreement that, if they implement, will be effective.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan tells Fox News Sunday the tariff threat put a charge into negotiations.
The foreign minister from Mexico arrived within hours. He arrived the next day with real proposals on the table. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration.
On the same program, Republican Senator Ron Johnson says he's impressed.
He's using tariffs as leverage in trade negotiations, and I think he used them as leverage in this situation brilliantly, quite honestly.
But Democratic presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke tells ABC's This Week it's not clear just what the president achieved.
These are agreements that Mexico had already made, in some cases, months ago. They might have accelerated the timetable, but by and large, the president achieved nothing except to jeopardize the most important trading relationship that the United States of America has.
President Trump also says Mexico agreed to large agricultural purchases in the deal, even though it wasn't officially mentioned. Mexican Ambassador Martha Barcena tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Is trade on agricultural products going to grow? Yes, it is going to grow, and it is going to grow without tariffs and with USMCA ratification.
But there was no transaction that was signed off on as part of this deal, is what I understand you're saying. You're just talking about trade.
I'm talking about trade, and I am absolutely certain that the trade in agricultural goods could increase dramatically in the next few months.
Also back in the spotlight this week, the Mueller report, with House Democrats opening a series of hearings into the special counsel's findings. David Cicilline sits on the House Judiciary Committee.
We're not going to let the president engage in a cover-up and prevent the American people from learning the truth. Now, there is some discussion about what's the best vehicle to do it. Is it through our normal oversight proceedings, or is it through the opening of an impeachment inquiry? That's really a process question.
Cicilline was on Fox News Sunday, one of the political shows you hear every Sunday here on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, then ABC's This Week at 1 p.m. and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. For more on all this, we're joined by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. First off, Greg, let's talk about the Mexican tariff threat averted. How much there is there to the president's deal with Mexico?
Unclear, I must say. I think that's not quite certain what he's going to do with people seeking asylum in Mexico. I guess the Mexicans will have more National Guard troops at their borders. The main thing is that we avoided a really ugly tariff war that I think would have continued to roil the market. So to that extent, it was a success, a victory for Trump.
And the president this morning is tweeting again about that victory, as you characterize it, saying that he's fully signed and documented another very important part of the deal that will be revealed in the not too distant future. This seems to be creating a lot of uncertainty, again, in terms of just what was agreed to. The president talking about large agricultural purposes, and many Mexican officials, including some that Bloomberg have talked to, are saying, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, he solved a problem he created, which he's very good at. And it is not clear just what this big surprise is. As you say, it could be agriculture. It could involve asylum applications by Central Americans who are in Mexico. But it I think it raises almost as many questions as it answers.
What questions does it raise for you particularly?
Well, whether it's really a deal that's done. I mean, they're talking now about 90 days of negotiations to get the deal finalized. So that's still very much up in the air. But you'd have to say, considering all the gloom in the markets last week about a really serious tariff crisis. This has been avoided, and I think this makes people a little more optimistic about the Canadian USMCA deal, and maybe even a little bit more optimistic that we might see some thawing of relations with China at the end of this month.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of that optimism expressed on, you know, both borders of the United States. At the same time, though, we're hearing from Democrats saying maybe they're not so sure about whether they can get on board with ratifying this deal yet. It's got to get through the House and Speaker Pelosi, right?
Well, the relations between Pelosi and Trump, as you know, are just so radioactive right now, with Pelosi saying Trump should be locked up, with him calling her a horrible person. You have to wonder about whether the two of them could get a deal on the NAFTA replacement. So I think surrogates, maybe someone like a Mike Pence, who's been talking to Justin Trudeau, you know, maybe surrogates can make some progress on Canada. But that one still, to me, is an uphill fight.
So do you see it getting done anytime soon, perhaps sometime this year?
Not necessarily. I think, of course, the Canadians have a big election in October, and Trudeau is in trouble. I think that if there's no deal by then, it's going to be hard to get a deal by the end of the year. I mean, I have low expectations, Nathan. As long as things don't get worse, as long as we don't see an escalation, I'd be pleased. But there's one more thing to worry about, and that's a really ugly fight with the European Union because of their subsidies to Airbus and others. If we have a fight with the European Union, that could involve everything from, you know, cheese, wine, you name it, and it could be a several billion dollars worth of tariffs. So we're not out of the woods yet with the tariff man who loves to use tariffs as a very blunt weapon.
And you got to think that another potential roadblock to things getting done in Washington, particularly, is something that was mentioned toward the end of that segment about the Sunday talk shows, the specter of more hearings on the Mueller report this week.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting with a talk of at least a condemnation or against the president. But I think most Democrats realize this is not would not be a smart move, even though a lot of people in the Democratic base would like to see impeachment proceedings. I continue to feel that Pelosi got it right, that going after him in an impeachment fight might actually make Trump stronger.
And we also have, of course, contempt votes coming up tomorrow for Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. In our last 30 seconds here, how much impact do you expect that to have?
Well, I don't think a lot. I mean, okay, so they're held in contempt. I don't think that it means a lot, certainly not for the markets, which we cover so much. I don't think that would be a big deal. I mean, the markets, I think, don't have to worry about impeachment because the same old story persists. There are not 67 votes in the Senate to convict.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments. Always good to get your insights. Thank you for being here. And you can read more about what's happening in Washington on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up about 11 points. Dow futures up 112 and NASDAQ futures up 30. 10-year Treasury down 16/32, yield 2.13%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.89%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 5 cents at $54.03 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 1.1%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.